On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we recap a humiliating Bears loss on Monday Night Football, and we'll give you everything that happened from the weekend, including UFC 254, NFL Week 7, and college football. Let's get right into it. What's up, everybody? What's going on? Welcome into 23's The Mic. I'm your host, Nadim. You can find me at NadimN22 on Instagram and at TheDreamN22 on Twitter. Always follow the show at 23's The Mic on Instagram and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play, whichever podcast provider you prefer. It's been a pretty incredible weekend. A lot to get to today. In terms of the NFL, so much happening. Just, it's crazy. Week 7, probably the best week of the season so far. A bunch of really close, insane games. We'll get into all of that. UFC 254, Khabib Nurmagomedov with a dominant two-round win submission triangle choke against Justin Gaethje. And I think it was about like a minute into the second round where he had him just go to sleep. And there's a cool story behind that as well, as Khabib could have went for the armbar, but because of the fact that he knows and his father passed away, this guy is such an honorable man. He didn't want Justin Gaethje, he didn't want to hurt him, and he knew that. And his father's favorite submission was a triangle choke, so he'd rather just put him to sleep, because the triangle choke, it just chokes you out and doesn't hurt you, whereas the armbar could very much well break your arm. So UFC 254, Khabib, he finishes off Justin Gaethje with the triangle choke, and then after the match, right after, he bursts into tears on the floor with his title, and then announces that this was his last match in the UFC, and he's done after that. So if this is actually it for him, he finishes off his UFC career with the final record of 29-0, goes down as one of the most dominant, maybe the greatest UFC fighter of all time, just dominating performances, dominates McGregor, dominates Poirier, dominates Gaethje. That match with Ferguson never happened because of how badly Gaethje beat Ferguson. And I would have to say he's the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest that I've seen. Just the fact that it was 29 matches, no losses, no blemishes, and not even any close contests. I've yet to see one Khabib fight where it's actually been close. So he'll go down as the greatest, and he'll probably go down as one of the greatest Muslim athletes of all time. You have two fighters, big-time fighters, in Muhammad Ali and Khabib Nurmagomedov. I think he's one of the greatest Muslim athletes of all time. It was funny, we were having this debate, and I was completely on the side of Muhammad Salah as right now the greatest Muslim athlete in the world, but Khabib proves me wrong time and time again. Mo Salah's still pretty up there. He won the Premier League and the Champions League for Liverpool, and that's insane, especially with the influence that those two divisions have on English soccer. Moving on, last night, the Bears, oh my goodness, the Bears and the Rams went to war on Monday Night Football, and you know what, we did this, I knew this was going to happen, and we did it again every single time this happens. 5-1 record going into this game. Those five wins were against the Panthers. They were a squeaked out win against the Buccaneers. They were a squeaked out win against the Lions. A comeback win against the Falcons. A squeaked out win against the... Another squeaked out close win against the New York Giants. And then a bad loss to the Indianapolis Colts. And you know what? I will be first one to say that I fell for it. I had my expectations high after a 5-1 record. An unconvincing five wins, where last week we asked the question, is it better to win ugly or lose pretty? And we all said it was better to win ugly. At least these are wins that we're getting. Well, now the Bears just got humiliated, embarrassed, exposed on Monday Night Football against Los Angeles Rams, 24-10. While that score line may not seem that crazy, let's go through some of the stats. One. The Bears' defense outscores the Bears' offense 6-3. A fumble return touchdown, for Eddie Jackson at the end in the third quarter, at there in the fourth quarter, at the end of the game, meaningless. That happens. All right, that's 1 point. Nick Foles goes 261 yards, two interceptions. The Bears rush for 49 yards. On fourth down, with the game on the line, Matt Nagy draws up a play to sweep to Cordarrelle Patterson, who is not even a running back. Sweep to Cordarrelle Patterson, gets completely destroyed in the backfield. And what do we talk about on Friday? The number one key matchup for me on Friday was the Bears O-line versus the Rams D-line. And the Rams D-line dominated the Bears all night long. The Bears have failed to rush for over 65 yards in their fourth straight game. That is the first time in the Super Bowl era that's happened to Chicago. The fourth time. And the first time this has happened. That's how bad this team is right now. This offense is historically bad. And it comes down to the play calling. I'm sorry. You have the personnel that isn't that great. Sure. Fine. Ryan Pace doesn't give you good options for your personnel. I can agree with that. But it is on the coach to do what he will with the team. Do what he can to make the team kind of compensate for the lack of personnel by some creative play calling. And a freaking sweep on fourth down to Cordarrelle Patterson. Last week, Matt Nagy told the media that they don't need to go after Le'Veon Bell because he's fine with the running backs that they have. What a joke. The play calling was absolutely trash yesterday. With a goal line drive, the Bears run a pass play to Anthony Miller. They run a run through David Montgomery. And then on fourth down, they go for it. And Nick Foles just runs around in the pocket. He's got no time, pressure all up in his face, and does nothing with it. And it was an absolute travesty on so many sides of the ball. Here's some of the things that really stood out to me. Now, there's going to be two sets of Bears fans that are really on my nerves this morning. One set of Bears fan is, oh, we have a 5-2 record. Everyone just relax. We're still really good. We're still one of the top teams in the league. Let me tell you the other 5-2 teams in the league right now. The Bills, the Browns, the Cardinals, the Rams, and the Bucks. The Bears cannot contend with those teams right now. They got absolutely trashed by the Rams, who are probably the bottom of all those teams right now. And, oh my goodness. And then you have the Mitch Trubisky stands that are just delusional in their own right. Just straight up delusional. Oh, why isn't anybody getting on Nick Foles? Well, Nick Foles is definitely a problem. He's not the solution. Nobody said Nick Foles was the answer. Nobody said Nick Foles was the guy that was going to take us over the top. But they said Nick Foles was a better option than Trubisky, and that stands true. The problems start with the head coach. The play calling has been less than great. Less than exceptional. But that hasn't just happened. That wasn't just yesterday's problem. This has been the problem all year long. This offense right now currently ranks 27th in the league in total offense. 27th. You have a Super Bowl, borderline Super Bowl defense. A borderline Super Bowl caliber defense that just requires an average offense. Maybe a 20th ranked offense. A 16th ranked offense. Average. Nothing special, nothing crazy, just an offense that can get the job done, that can use Jimmy Graham in the red zone because he is your best red zone target, that can have Nick Foles not running out of the pocket because he's not a running quarterback, he's not capable of making running throws like yesterday when he threw a terrible interception by going to his left, throwing across his body into double coverage and having the pass tipped and picked off in the end zone, thus ending basically any chance the Bears had yesterday. I mean, this is just atrocious. It's so bad that you're running these little jet sweeps and you're trying to make these Kansas... Like, what is the identity of Nagy's offense? There has not been one. Ever since he got here, the Bears have never had a good offense, and he was supposed to be this offensive-minded coach. And I feel like the Bears are just this allergic to having any type of good offense, because we've seen Mike Martz, we've seen Matt Nagy, we've seen all these different coaches trying to come in. Dowell Loggins came in, Adam Gase came in, all these supposed offensive minds that just never got the job done. And I'm sorry if I can't be optimistic about 5-2 when the offense is ranked 27th. It looks like it cannot move the ball at all. Nick Foles misses wide open targets all game long. You would think, so there was one play where Darnell Mooney, who's an absolute stud, by the way. I don't want to hear how bad our personnel is when we have a stud like Darnell Mooney, when we have a number one receiver like Allen Robinson. And Jimmy Graham, who I was down on but has proven to be a solid red zone option. Darnell Mooney does a stop and go, completely fools Jalen Ramsey, burns him. And unfortunately, due to the pressure, Nick Foles had to get rid of the ball before he wanted to and just overshot him. The one throw that I just was really upset by Foles about is in at the end of the game on fourth down. It was all four verticals. He threw it up for Javon Wims. He had time, throws it up, and Javon Wims beats Jalen Ramsey. A good throw is a touchdown. And it's funny because Mitch would always overthrow. Nick Foles just underthrows. And it's just so infuriating, man, to see that this team, they have five wins, okay? So they're not going to get a top draft pick. And everyone who's going to be on this 5-2, everyone's panicking, relax. These are the same people that said we were good with Trubisky. These are the same people that were happy with these wins against the former Washington team, and the Lions, and wins like that. Like, beating the Lions and the Falcons and the Giants, that shouldn't garner much praise when you're the Bears and you have this defense. And now the schedule gets incredibly tough for the Bears. The Saints and the Titans come next in the next 2 weeks. So basically 5-4 right there. Then you have the Vikings, who knows, they could turn it around. Then you have the Packers, and then maybe two wins against the Lions and the Texans, and then the Vikings. But I mean, this offense doesn't look like it can do anything, because guess what? It hasn't. Less than 65 rushing yards in the past 4 weeks straight. Four straight weeks, less than 65 rushing yards. How many did we have yesterday? 49. How many do we have the week before? 63. How many do we have the week before? 35. Then what was before that? 28. Oh my goodness. It's not looking good, and it doesn't. And like I said, it's the worst part is, like, we can't even improve. Like, the trade deadline's coming, but Matt Nagy's okay with these running backs. Even though David Montgomery, sure, he makes a guy miss, and it looks great. He breaks some ankles. Awesome. He's shifty. Great. He does not have the speed or the burst or the power to get through tackles, to get through holes, to go all the way downfield. And I'm sorry, this is just a mess right now. We're looking at 5-4 in the next 2 weeks, and then who knows what's there from then. But maybe if we end up losing enough games, we can get a good draft pick and turn this thing around. But Matt Nagy has to give up his play-calling duties. That's the major takeaway in this. Matt Nagy should give up his play-calling duties 100%. And then you have that drama with the Foles and Greasy comment where he said that Nick Foles tells Matt, or isn't able to execute Matt Nagy's plays because he's in the pocket. He says Matt Nagy doesn't understand how much time he has and that he's getting hit sooner. I don't know what's going on there. We have issues all over the place on the offensive side of the ball. Defense looked good. Defense hung in there for about 2.5 quarters with 5 minutes left in the game. In the third quarter, actually, is when the defense just gave up because they couldn't handle it anymore, because the Rams were just playing with so much tempo and they were just beating the defense, and the defense was tired. But they did a good job of hanging in there. They got a touchdown. They outscored the offense, and that should never happen. That's all I got to say. We'll have the preview for the Saints game. Oof, looking like a rough one on Thursday or Friday show. But right now we have the NFL's good, the bad, and the ugly, and why I'm so excited for this week just to see what happened in this week. So let me break this down to you. I'm a diehard University of Oklahoma Sooners fan, and I'm one. They beat TCU this week pretty formidably, 33-14, looked good. But my guys. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, just doing great things. Both have 5-2 records. Both led their teams to 37-34 victories over their opponents to get to 5-2. And that's my NFL's good, the bad, or the NFL's good for week 7 is Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Tom Brady, my three favorite quarterbacks. Baker, what can I say? After so much scrutiny at the hands of the loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, at the hands to the national media, whether it was Colin Cowherd, Brandon Marshall, Stephen A. Smith, who knows how many people, how many pundits, how many of these nationally renowned just media critics put him down, called for his job, said he wasn't it, said that he was just spiraling out of control. And he starts this game against the Cincinnati Bengals out 0-for-5 with a terrible interception on his first pass to Odell Beckham Jr., who ended up getting hurt and tearing his ACL, who was out for the season on the play, unfortunately. Thoughts and prayers go to Odell and hope for a speedy recovery and big things to come after his recovery. But after that, Baker Mayfield unleashes 21 straight completions. 21 straight completions. He goes 22 for 23 after the 0-5 start in three quarters of that game. Five touchdowns, including the game-winning touchdown to Donovan Peoples-Jones in the back of the end zone with 11 seconds remaining. Now, I will be completely honest. I was watching this game. It was awesome to see him have four touchdowns. But Joe Burrow was going back and forth with him as well. And Joe Burrow threw a pick to Terrence Mitchell, who just dropped the ball right into his hands. It was basically like Joe Burrow was throwing a pass to Terrence Mitchell, and he just dropped the ball. And then Joe Burrow made them pay and went down the field and scored a touchdown. And with 1:06 remaining, the Bengals were up. And I didn't know if Baker could do this. I didn't know that if Baker could drive his team down the field and win the game. It was 34-31, 1:06 left, and I was thinking, all right, well, Baker threw for four touchdowns. He had a good game. But there he went, 75 yards in 1:06, and it was a phenomenal drive, a phenomenal drive. I've never seen it. And Baker Mayfield hasn't really been put in these pressure-packed situations. He did it last year against the Bills in the fourth quarter, but this was his first real shot at a comeback fourth-quarter drive with the game on the line in the closing minutes, and he did it, and he threw some beautiful passes. Beautiful passes. And the Browns win the game, 37-34. They're now 5-2. Another great comeback, come-from-behind victory, Kyler Murray against the Seattle Seahawks. Kyler goes 34 for 48, 360 yards, three touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. He also threw a really bad pick. But Kyler Murray is playing on another level this year. He is one of the MVP candidates for sure after dethroning Russell Wilson and ending the Seahawks' unbeaten run. Kyler Murray, he can do it on the ground. He can do it in the air. And while he might not have the most refined throws, he makes some beauties and he makes some clunkers. And so if he gets his accuracy more consistent, and he has a better, I mean, he's establishing this connection with DeAndre Hopkins. That's awesome right now. At the beginning of the game, he sees Hopkins in single coverage, and he smiles while unleashing a bomb down the sideline for a touchdown. And Kyler is just, he's just incredible. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't have much to say. He's just been incredible this year. He's making one of those leaps that Lamar Jackson made in his second year, that Patrick Mahomes made in his second year. And I don't know if it's going to be to the level of Mahomes, but I definitely see Kyler Murray, who's number one in fantasy right now in terms of the player points. But he does it with his legs. He does it with his arm. And while Kenyon Drake could be hurt, and this could be the Chase Edmonds show after next week's bye, I think Kyler is in great position to not – he's propelling his team, basically. And his team, his defense, is coming around him to play a lot better. They got three picks on Russell Wilson, who had his first bad game of the year while still throwing for three touchdowns. So I think he's still the MVP front runner. But we've seen Russell Wilson kind of fizzle out in the second half of the year. So we'll see how he does this year. But Kyler Murray in the MVP conversation for sure. Another player that is in the MVP conversation that is completely just, he was put to the side. Everyone said his career was over. He was too old to do it. Tom Brady against the Las Vegas Raiders goes 33 for 45, 369 yards, four touchdowns and a rushing touchdown, five total touchdowns. In Tom Brady's last five games, he's thrown for 1,454 yards, 15 touchdowns to one interception, and an average quarterback rating of 110.28. That is insane. Tom Brady has thrust himself into the MVP conversation. And, I mean, Russell Wilson had a bad game, but he, like I said, he's still top. You have Aaron Rodgers and then Tom Brady. He's right there with him. Right there with him. And he's doing it on the back of a good defense that's playing better. No real running game. His receivers are hurt. Chris Godwin's out next week. Mike Evans has been hampered with the hamstring injury. And now he's getting Antonio Brown. OJ Howard was out with the Achilles. He's got the resurgence of Rob Gronkowski coming. And he has been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Even better than I expected him to be. I expected the Bucs to be in the NFC Championship game. But they might win the damn thing now. I mean, this is such an incredible performance for Tom Brady. The Bucs are now 5-2. All these good 5-2 teams, the league is really coming around this year, but I'm so excited to see what's in store for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady in the second half of this year as well. All right, that's the good for this week. The bad is the Atlanta Falcons. Oh my goodness, they just find every single way to lose. At the end of the game, the Falcons score a go-ahead touchdown with about a minute plus left. It was Todd Gurley. I think they were down two. And Todd Gurley takes a run while two plays before the Lions were trying to get them into the end zone. They were trying to let them score. Todd Gurley takes the handoff, goes right through the middle. And at the last minute, he remembers that he needs to stop. And he's trying to stop himself. And he stumbles into the end zone. The Lions players around him put their hands up for the touchdown. And then the Lions go and they march down the field. They win the game on the last second touchdown at the buzzer to TJ Hockenson. I've literally never seen anything like it. Actually, because I've always seen that play happen where the running back is into the end zone, but he stops maybe a little before, or he falls down on accident. And it's like that happened in the Super Bowl with the second Giants and Patriots one, where Ahmad Bradshaw like fell into the end zone and gave the Patriots a little more time. This time they gave the Lions more time. And the Lions, what do you expect from the Falcons this year other than to blow another lead? Another lead. It's insane. It's so crazy the way that they did. Kenny Golladay was back in a vengeance that day. Six catches for 100 plus yards and just putting the team on his back. And the Lions win. Matthew Stafford, game-winning touchdown pass to TJ Hockenson. My ugly for this week is the Dallas Cowboys, who lost to the Washington football team by a final score of 22-3. Oh boy, it did not look good. It did not look good at all. The Cowboys finish with a total of 59 passing yards. Andy Dalton gets hurt in this game. He got crushed by former Bear John Bostic, who was ejected from the game on a helmet-to-helmet injury during a slide. Ezekiel Elliott was limited to 45 yards on the ground. CeeDee Lamb had nothing on five targets. The defense for the Cowboys just is atrocious, but the offense couldn't get anything done against the Washington football team. Chase Young led the way with six total sacks. This team looks terrible. Both these teams, the NFC East just looks terrible, and I think the Eagles are the prime runners in that division. The Cowboys, man, the season just keeps getting worse. They have Ben DiNucci that came into the game, Garrett Gilbert in the back as the backup. So I don't know. I don't know what the solution is there, but they might have to blow everything up in Dallas. And then we have the World Series game, which was phenomenal as well. Back and forth went the Rays and Dodgers, splitting runs. Corey Seager is on one, and Randy Arozarena is also on one. He has tied Pablo Sandoval for the most hits in a postseason. He also has tied for the most home runs in the postseason with 8. And this World Series has been very, very underwhelming for sure. It's hard to like completely tune into it because there hasn't really been any drama. There's not really any comebacks. It's like the Dodgers get up to a 3-0 lead and then they just win that game. And you know, they won game 5. They look to be in control now. And they're one win away tonight from a World Series win. And it'll be impressive to see, but I just wish for more drama. But that game had it all. And then Brett Phillips hits a go-ahead or a game-tying single that was botched by Chris Taylor. And then the throw home was offline or mishandled by the catcher. And then Randy Arozarena, who tumbled from third on the way home, was caught in no man's land, hung out dead to dry, and he ends up scoring and the Rays win. So that's something to look forward to tonight on Fox, the Dodgers and Rays in Game 6 of the World Series. And we're hoping maybe for some – the Thursday night game this week is the Falcons and the Panthers, so we'll look forward to that. But great drama this week in the NFL, the Steelers – they beat the Titans in a close game as well. They were up a lot in that game, and then they kind of just gave it back to them at the end. Ben threw some really uncharacteristic picks, just throwing it up lobs in the end zone. But the Steelers were pretty much in control of that game until the fourth quarter. And then Steven Gostkowski misses the game-tying field goal. Oh, my goodness. The Patriots lost to the San Francisco 49ers by a final score of 33-6, and Jimmy G's return home to Foxborough for the first time since he was traded. Cam Newton has not looked good at all. He's gone for 98 yards and 3 picks in this one. He got benched for Jared Stidham in this game. The Patriots just don't look good, and I think they're missing Tom Brady exceptionally, especially now. So we'll see how the Patriots rebound, but it does not look good. Bill Belichick, doing all those Subway commercials, might have to call it a career at this point. And that's all for today's show. So make sure that you subscribe to 23's the Mic on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. And on Spotify, follow the podcast at 23's the Mic on Instagram and Twitter. We'll check in with you guys later on in the week, either Thursday or Friday, for the weekend preview in NFL's Week 8. So thank you guys for listening so much. This is 23's the Mic. Love you guys.